From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, January 21st, 2021. The state today recorded 675 new cases of COVID-19 in Maine. Six more people with the disease have died. Schools in counties designated yellow under the state's COVID-19 risk assessment system will be allowed to resume winter athletics, but not every district may choose to do so. Yesterday, the Maine Principals Association released a memo saying that the color coding system will no longer apply to athletics. That means districts in counties designated yellow can now determine if they want to resume practices or games. Maine School Management Association Executive Director Steve Bailey says he expects school officials will likely work together regionally and look at health statistics to determine if athletics are even feasible.
Because this is still going to be turn the switch and everybody starts to play, type of a situation.
York, Androscoggin, Cumberland, and Oxford counties have all been designated yellow by the state. Several schools in those counties have already said they plan to resume practices by the end of the week. And state revenues are up $65 million over estimates for the first half of the budget year. And one state revenue official is cautiously optimistic that the trend will continue. Mal Leary has more.
Mike Allen, Maine Revenue Services Associate Commissioner for Tax Policy, says the revenues show Maine's economy is starting to recover from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. He says much of that is attributable to the CARES Act, passed by Congress last spring, that pumped billions into Maine's economy, largely in the form of expanded and enhanced unemployment benefits.
We estimate that was $55 million of withholding that added a significant benefit to the state's revenues.
Allen says nearly all sources of state revenues came in above estimates. He says the economic fallout from the pandemic is mixed, with low-income households being hurt the most. He says the latest relief package passed by Congress will help, but he cautions that if the pandemic worsens or lingers, there could be revenue shortfalls in the months ahead. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And in weather tonight, snow showers up to a couple inches of accumulation in the mountains and lows in the high single digits to the mid-20s. Scarborough Downs will soon become the site of Maine's first mass COVID-19 vaccination clinic. The former harness racing track's grandstand's being retrofitted and will begin vaccinating at least 1,000 people a day by the end of the month. Patty White reports.
The owner and developer of the former Scarborough Downs, Crossroad Holdings, donated use of the grandstand to Maine Health. According to a written statement, construction crews will work 7 days a week until the clinic is completed. It's expected to open by the end of January and be operational for 6 months. Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says the high-volume clinic will kickstart broader vaccine distribution and ease demand at other sites.
That's what this does. That gradually and collectively reduces pressure on all of the other lines because folks can float over to that new line. And in this case, this new line is an express lane.
Shaw says the state is working to open other mass vaccination sites in major population areas, including Bangor. But exactly how many sites will depend on the ability of existing vaccination clinics to scale up.
If we are starting to get in a position where we're getting more vaccine in the state than the existing channels can accommodate, then we'll look to try to establish more such locations.
Maine is far from reaching that point. Recent allotments of the COVID-19 vaccine have been flat, and next week's allocation is 17,575 doses. That's nearly 1,000 doses less than what was received this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Opponents of Central Maine Power's proposed transmission line through the state's western woods delivered more than 100,000 petition signatures to the Secretary of State today in their second bid to give voters a say on the project's fate. Fred Bever has more.
The petition drive was spearheaded by a coalition that included local grassroots opponents and big energy companies that could lose profits if the CMP project is successful. The transmission line would bring hydroelectricity from Canada into the regional power grid to serve Massachusetts customers. Maine's Supreme Judicial Court last year ruled that a previous referendum question that aimed to kill the $1 billion project was unconstitutional. Project opponent Tom Saviello, a former state senator, says the new measure would require a retroactive vote by the state legislature to approve or reject the transmission project, or in the future, others like it.
2 months, 100,000 signatures is a pretty good accomplishment that I think sends a pretty dramatic message that people want to say in this exercise.
If the Secretary of State certifies the signatures, the question could wind up on the statewide ballot in November. John Breed, a spokesman for a political action committee funded by CMP's parent company, Avangrid Networks, says the new petition drive succeeded thanks to at least $1.5 million spent by project opponents.
This is an effort by the fossil fuel industries to stop a project that would encroach on their market share.
Two of the energy producers that oppose the project rely mostly on natural gas facilities, while the largest, NextEra, operates both fossil fuel and renewable energy facilities. Affiliates of CMP's parent company, Avangrid, does as well, mostly via renewable energy projects, but also providing natural gas pipeline services for roughly a million customers in the Northeast and operating a natural gas-fired energy plant in Oregon. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. You can find more stories online at mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning at 11 for Maine Calling. I'm Nora Flaherty.